Hello, everyone. I hope you had a great, successful weekend. Let's do a quick review of what we saw last week and maybe project and see what the outlook may look like for the next couple of weeks till the end of the year. And also, let's take a look at the new Canadian mortgage charter that was released last week. Mortgage rate stability is something that we're going to expect in the next few months, until the rate decrease for maybe second half of next year. It could be earlier, but the next scheduled Bank of Canada rate announcement is on December 6th, and we actually expect no change for that announcement. So again, mortgage rate stability, we've seen fixed rate go down a little bit when there were movements on the five-year bond yields in the last couple of weeks. Now, there's a statistics or review that I saw last week that I'd love to bring to your attention. So the Canadian Bankers Association would normally have keep track or do keep track of the statistics on mortgage arrears. And mortgage arrears, as defined, it's basically three consecutive months of three or more months of mortgage arrears. Now, you know, if you're only looking at the reviews or reports that put on the media, you might have heard that the arrears as a number is actually increasing. And that's a fact. If you look at these statistics, September 2023, we saw that there were around 5,065,516 mortgages in Canada, and 8,140 of that is considered in arrears. So three or more months behind on payment. Now, it definitely increased from the previous month of August and the previous month of July 2023 and so on. But it's been fairly consistent in that 0.15, and it did increase to 0.16. Is that a big number? Let's take a look. If we looked back in 2021, we saw numbers at around 0.17, around 0.18, and remember, it was around 0.16%. So 16 basis points back in, or currently in September numbers, 2023. So it was actually quite a bit higher in 2022 or 2021 prior to that. Actually, prior to that would be 2021. 2022 was actually, the numbers were lower, around 0.14% or 14 basis points. 2020, so we saw the pandemic happen. Right, so pandemic happened around March 2020. The number of mortgages definitely increased. You know, it was lower then, around 4,819,000. Today, it's around 5,065,000. So back in March 2020, we saw 11,542 of arrears. So around 24 basis points, or 0.24%. Obviously, it's a higher number. And we kind of expected that to be that way, right? But if you look at the numbers from March onward, the number of arrears, actual number of arrears, are actually going down. And as a percentage of the mortgages in Canada, they're actually going down. Now, again, we're talking about 24, 25 basis points here. Let's take a look at 2018. 2018 is fairly consistent, around 23 basis points. Look back even further, 2015, around 27 basis points, 28 basis points. So they're definitely higher than what we have today. I'm not too sure if you're aware of that, because I wasn't. I knew the numbers were fairly small. And certainly, if you look at the news today, you will basically expect that the mortgage arrears are higher. But if you look at historically, it hasn't been this low. So again, it's actually higher back in 2015, 2014. Financial crisis happened in when? 20, 2007, 2008. So it's around 25 basis points, 28 basis points, 27 basis points. So it actually has been higher in the past. We saw them as high as around 43, 42 basis points in 2010. And as I mentioned earlier, September 2023, our arrears number is basically based on the 5 million mortgages, around 8,140. And again, it has increased from 15 basis points in August to 16 basis points in September, but they're not that bad. Now you go, okay, well, certainly there's movements there, and at 16 basis points, it's still increasing. So that's a fact. So we get to accept that. But can we compare that to, you know, our neighbors down south? What do they have? I mean, is it similar to ours? Are we talking about, you know, 15, 16 basis points, 25 basis points thereabouts? Now, one of the numbers that I saw from them is basically some of the numbers that they have today. So they're actually much higher number of arrears. Now, the number of arrears that's being counted here is not similar to the ones that are being collected by our financial institutions. So again, our financial institutions were collecting based on 3 months or longer arrears. So this one is 30 days mortgage loans that are 30 days or longer. For the U.S., this is first quarter of 2023. It's at 3.5%. So Canada in September is 0.16%, or what we call 16 basis points. 3.5% for the first quarter of 2023 is such a big number. This is 350 basis points, or 3.5%. Excuse me. Prior to that, it was 3.96%, 3.45%. So if we look at our arrears number, and sometimes when we read the statistics or we read the news or listen to, you know, people putting some content out there and they say that our arrears are increasing and it's so, so bad. Obviously, no one wants to see mortgage arrears to increase. But as far as Canada is concerned, our households or mortgage borrowers are known to be financially responsible, and the repayment on mortgage obligations are so, so much lower in terms of the arrears compared to a lot of the developed countries. So again, if somebody tells you that, you know, doom and gloom, obviously we don't want the arrear numbers to be increasing, but they're actually pretty good, especially if we compare it to the US. Now, interest rate risk is actually so much lower now because we're basically under the... Our expectation is that we've reached the peaks or the rates currently. It's either, you know, hold for a few months and then potentially more likely to decrease in the future. Obviously, you know, prime rate is what we're talking about here. Fixed rates are dependent upon on what happens with the 5-year bond yields. But prime rate as we have it, we've considered it at the peak currently. So the current prime is at 7.2%, and the overnight lending rate is at 5%. Okay. Now, people could say that the market risk is pretty high because of the recession. I'm not too sure if you know this, but there's been 12 recessions in Canada, right, since 1926. And our economy have always bounced back. So again, as much as we might be already at the start of a recession, there's always a sunshine, you know, or if we call this the, seasons, if this is the winter season, we're gonna head into spring sometime, right? So it's never ever going to be winter all the time. And the reality is, during the winter time, during downward markets or the down markets, there's businesses that do really, really well. There's organization and companies that blooms, because if you do the right things, you can definitely see growth in even in the winter markets. There will be more competition in the mortgage market. I think for most that knows me, I've communicated that I have access to 86 lenders officially. And we got notice last week that we're adding on one major bank lender, which is coming back to the mortgage broker world. That's BMO, Bank of Montreal. We're happy, ecstatic that's the case, because BMO as a lender is one of the top, five, six banks that we have in Canada. Currently, from a big bank financial perspective, what we have access to are TD, Scotiabank, National Bank, and now BMO. Now, the Canadian Mortgage Charter, if it's, it seems like there's been a few posts, recordings that's been forwarded to me, and it's quite interesting, I guess would be a word that I can use for that. Interesting in a sense that there's been some inaccurate information on some of the information that's being put out there. So let's quickly review the pointers. I believe there's 6 points that the Canadian Mortgage Charter, this is gathered directly from the Government of Canada website. It's basically this. Number one is, according to the Canadian Mortgage Charter, they're encouraging allowing temporary extensions of the amortization period for mortgage holders at risk. Now, how we define who are the mortgage holders, it's quite new, so we don't know yet, but I would imagine it would be Canadian mortgage holders that maybe couldn't keep up with the current mortgage payments. It may or may not mean that mortgage is in arrears, and allowing for temporary extensions of the amortization period. It leads us to believe that, the lender doesn't just say, go get an extension and that's it. For all intents and purposes, maybe there's going to be a questionnaire. There's going to be some rationale how you're going to keep up with the mortgage payments, especially if you're currently in arrears. That's number one. Number two is waiving fees and costs that would have otherwise been charged for relief measures. Again, now this one's a matter of, again, somebody with financial constraint that has a mortgage and maybe having some issues with repayment, waiving fees and costs that would have otherwise been charged for relief measures. Again, we don't have the exact interpretation or application of that ruling, but it's a good sign, right? So it's something that if you're already feeling the pinch, adding fees and extra costs on top of that won't help your scenario, but basically waiving those fees gives you a little bit of a break there. Oh, this is the one that seems to be misinterpreted quite a bit. This one says, not requiring insured mortgage holders to requalify under the insured minimum qualifying rate when switching lenders at mortgage renewal. Now, let's highlight the fact that obviously you need to have a mortgage that's due for renewal. Switching is basically not refinancing. So you're not renegotiating or increasing the mortgage, increasing the amortization or anything like that. You can negotiate the mortgage, with another financial institution. So if you have a mortgage with TD and you wanted to transfer or switch it over to Scotiabank, if it's an insured mortgage, so this is the part that people were missing, insured mortgage. So insured, what that means, it's CMHC, Canada Guarantee, SageN. It's the mortgage itself has mortgage default insurance. So when you purchase the property, you purchased it with less than 20% down, under $1 million, and it's due for renewal, you don't necessarily have to use the minimum qualifying rate, or MQR, which is actual interest rate plus 2%. That's how it's defined, minimum qualifying rate, or the higher of that, or the 5.25%. Okay. It's the higher of. So for now, a lot of the qualifying rate are based on actual interest rate plus 2. So if you're negotiating your mortgage and your mortgage offering is at, let's say, 5.5%, if you have to requalify, it's 5.5 plus 2%. So it's 7.5% will be the interest rate that we have to show the lenders that you can afford. But with this new rule or charter, it allows us to qualify it based on the 5.5%, which is the actual interest rate. Okay. This is the one that I've seen. There's a few different variation being posted about it, but don't miss the fact that it has to be an insured mortgage at the beginning. Okay. And that we're not adding on to this. So this is not a refinance. We're not adding on to the mortgage. And it's going to be considered either a switch or a transfer to another financial institution. Obviously, you always still have the option to renew with the same financial institution that you're with. And for most of those, you don't have to re-qualify. The next one is contacting homeowners 4 to 6 months in advance of their mortgage renewal to inform them of their renewal options. So this is a practice that most financial institutions already have anyway, but it's part of the charter now. So they should be and will be contacting any mortgage holder 4 to 6 months prior to the maturity date. Giving homeowners at risk the ability to make lump sum payments to avoid negative amortization or sell their property residence without any prepayment penalties. So this one basically says that, you know, well, no one's defined the homeowners at risk. But again, that's something that we would see a ruling from the financial institutions. But the ability to put a lump sum payment on it will basically give the current mortgage holder the ability to catch up. So some mortgages, let's say you have a variable rate mortgage with a fixed payment, some mortgages are actually under a negative amortization, which basically means you're not even covering the current payments for those mortgages, may not even be paying the interest rates. So negative amortization, because every single month your principal increases instead of decreasing, because amortization basically is the repayment schedule. And at the end of the amortization schedule, your mortgage should be at zero. So if you're not covering interest and your payment right now is less than the interest, it's considered a negative amortization. Now, by putting a lump sum payment on it, potentially you would bring the principal down and you may be able to keep your current payment and basically get back on track. And the last part on that Canadian mortgage charter is the number 6, not charging interest on interest in the event that mortgage relief measures result in a temporary period of negative amortization. Technically, some financial institutions can capitalize the interest that were behind. And if you capitalize that onto the principal and you charge interest on the new principal amount, it's effectively charging interest on interest. So there's going to be some restrictions on that, how it's going to be applied. Again, because this was only released last week, we're not sure 100% on how that's going to be implemented. If you have any questions, let me know. My telephone number is 416-705-3239. Obviously, I'm a mortgage broker and a team lead for our EMA mortgage, expert mortgage agent within the network at Mortgage Alliance. Thank you so much for listening. And it's a long one here, but I hope you got something out of this, and I hope you have a successful week.